back to Mark chapter 3. I've entitled this message, Christ Beside Himself. This is the accusation his own brethren made of him. Verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. There was such a crowd in this house where they were eating. And when his friends, in my marginal reading says his kinsmen, heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, to seize him. For they said, he's beside himself. He's gone crazy, is what that means. Now, this was very early in the Lord's public ministry. This was just after the calling of the 12, so it was probably within the first month or two of the opening of his public ministry. And he was becoming famous because of the miracles he performed. Look in chapter 1, verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. A lot of people witnessed this, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now he healed Simon's mother miraculously. He healed a leper. He healed a paralytic before many witnesses. He healed a man with a withered hand. People heard the demons when they cried out, saying, thou art the Son of God. The leper knew he was the Lord. And he's gaining quite a following from these miracles he performed. He goes into this place to eat. It's so crowded that they can't even move their arms to get food up to their mouths. Can you imagine what that must have been like? He was such a celebrity at this time. And then we read in verse 20 of chapter 3, and the multitude cometh together so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, his kinsmen, that's what that's talking about, his brothers and sisters, the people he grew up with, the people that were in the home of Joseph and Mary. Now, one thing that strikes me about this, he never sinned, and they couldn't see it. It's remarkable, isn't it? The only holy man to ever live. And they saw this. They grew up with him, and they did not recognize it. It says a lot, doesn't it? We say things like, I want people to see Christ in me, and I do. I do. I'm not saying that facetiously. I want to act in such a gracious way that people will see Christ in me, whatever that means. But I know this, they didn't see Christ in Christ. They didn't. They saw no beauty, they saw no glory in him, and they grew up with him. You see, it takes grace to see. If you're just a natural man, you're not going to see or understand anything. It takes grace to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his brothers and sisters, they did not get it. And they said, we need to lay hold upon him. We need to seize him. We need to bring him back to reality. He has gone crazy. He's beside himself. All of this popularity has gone to his head, and we need to get him back, get him home, and get him grounded. I couldn't help but think of the multitudes when our Lord, 3 years later, right before his death, the multitude is crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." They didn't know who he was, but they were crying that. And the Pharisees said, "Master, rebuke thy disciples. They shouldn't be saying things like that." And he said, "I tell you, if these held their peace, immediately the stones would cry out." Now, just because somebody doesn't understand, that doesn't take away from the glory of who he is. Turn to John chapter 7. Look in verse 20. The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goes about to kill thee?" Now they said Christ was demon possessed. Now here we see what people do, and I've been guilty of it, and you've been guilty of it. When there's something that we can't understand and can't give an account for or disagree with, we'll say they're crazy. Or we'll demonize them. Every one of us have done that. We've had this done to us. It happens, and that's what they were doing with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saying, he's demon-possessed. Now, what brought this on? Well, look in chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, "Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest." Now, this is brothers and sisters again. Here we have them again. "For there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. These people who grew up in his house, now some of them would end up believing. Some of them would. James, the pastor at the church of Jerusalem, was the Lord's brother. But at this time, none of them believe him. And they're saying, if you're real, go show yourself to everybody so they can see. I love what is said next in verse 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come." They had no idea what he was talking about, but he had a time. The time to die. The time to put away the sins of his people. That's why he came as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But it was not yet. "The world cannot hate you," verse 7, "but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil." All the works. All the works. What's his testimony concerning the works of the world? Evil. Evil. My works. Your works. Everybody else's works. Evil. "Go ye up into the feast." I'm not up yet. "I go not yet up to the feast, for my time is not yet full come." And when he had said these things, these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He's a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for the fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" He never went to seminary. He never had any education. How does he even know how to read? They were confounded by his great ability. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Now, if I don't know the doctrine of Christ, you know why? It's because of an unwillingness to do his will. That's the reason It's sin. It's sin. Now, go on reading. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now here's the great error detector test. Who gets the glory? That's true every time. Yeah, it's just across the board. Who gets the glory? Did not Moses, verse 19, give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Why go you about to kill me? I love the way he said that. You guys don't keep the law. You talk about it, you brag about it, you don't keep it. All talk. Then the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goes about to kill thee? Well, they were. But still they, thou hast a devil. Look in chapter 10. Or chapter 8, I'm sorry. Verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and you have a devil? There they are saying the same thing to him after hearing him speak. Now what did he say that brought this on? Now this is the natural reaction to somebody who can't give a scriptural answer to something. They'll say, well, you're crazy. You're demon-possessed. And that's what they were saying to the Lord. Now, what brought all of this on? Well, look in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And we know that they won't continue in his word. But he says, if you do, that is what will prove your true disciples, continuing, abiding in, not leaving my word. And you shall know the truth. And the truth, not your knowledge of the truth is a person. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Now look at their answer. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Well, for one thing, they were under the bondage of the Roman government, weren't they? They were under the thumb of the Roman government. And for another thing, they were in bondage to their own sinful nature. They were slaves. They were in bondage. And so this confession they make regarding their own freedom was what? A lie. A lie. Nothing more. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. What's that make you? What's that make me? And the servant, the slave, abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Slave will be kicked out, but not the son. And if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now how does the son make one free? By getting rid of what he's a slave to, the sin. Putting it away and giving him a new nature that can do what the old nature can never do. It can believe. It can love God for who he is. It is in a continual state of repentance. Now, if the Son makes you free, you really are free. I know, verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Because my word hath no place in you. Now, the reason his word had no place in them, and they did, is they didn't have a new heart to receive it. A natural man's never going to receive the word of God. And he says to these people, my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now seek ye to kill me, a man that's told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. That's the evidence that God is somebody's father. They love his son. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot. You lack the ability. Didn't say you may not. Didn't even say you will not. He says you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's the one thing he's original about, is lying. He's the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Nobody could do it. They couldn't say, I can prove him to be a sinner. No, you can't. Everything that comes out of my mouth is divine truth, absolute truth. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here's a man who has never sinned, who tells nothing but the truth, but they don't believe. Why do you not believe me? And he answers that question, he that's of God heareth God's words. You know, I know this. Everybody that's of God is going to hear the gospel, and they're going to believe. They're not going to reject the truth. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Lord said in John 18, everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? This is crazy. Look in chapter 10. Verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. You know, there always is, isn't there? A division because of these sayings, the word of God. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil. He's mad. He's crazy. Why hear ye him? Verse 6 of the same chapter. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They didn't know what he's talking about. Well, let's read it real quickly. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now what this is talking about is a sheep pen. It's where all the shepherds would go at night, and there would be maybe 12, 14 shepherds with all their sheep in this big pen. And when it came to get them out, the shepherd would call for his sheep, and they'd know his voice. Every one of them would. And they'd come out and follow his voice. The rest didn't. They would follow only the voice of their shepherd. They knew his voice. And God's people know the voice of Christ, and they won't listen to anything else. Verse 5, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. They understood not what things they were which spake unto them. They didn't have any idea what he's talking about. So the Lord expounds it. He tells them what he was talking about. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I love this. The simplicity of this, a door. I am the door. Now what's a door do? Door lets people in. It lets people out. It keeps people in. And it keeps people out. Every night before I go to bed, Lynn says, have you checked the compound? And sometimes I haven't. And that's always not a good thing. I haven't locked the doors and thought about it. Well, I'll never do that again. It happened recently. Well, why should I? Of course I'll do it again. But at any rate, what's a door for? To let people into the very presence of God. And to keep them in and preserve them. To let them out in liberty and freedom. And to keep anybody out that tries to approach by salvation by works. He is the door of the sheep. Now the thief, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. I'm that shepherd David was talking about in Psalm 23:1, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I am that shepherd. He's also called the chief shepherd and that great shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews chapter 13. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. More on that in a moment, but he that's a hireling, he was working for pay. That's what a hireling is. He's working for pay. Who's the hireling? Anybody who teaches salvation by works. That's a hireling. He that's an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him and scattereth him. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now here he's talking about his atoning death for the sheep. Is everybody a sheep? Well, look what he said in verse 26 of this same chapter. You believe not, because you are not of my sheep. You see, there are goats and there are sheep. When the Lord gives that picture of the day of judgment, he talks about the sheep being set on the right hand. And the goats on the left. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now you can call this definite atonement. You can call it limited atonement. Somebody says, well, I don't like that term limited. Well, you know, I don't like it so much either unless it's explained what it means. It means his death was limited to the elect. It wasn't for anybody else. Particular redemption, it's Christ's successful redemption for the sheep, his elect. And somebody doesn't preach that, doesn't preach the gospel. I want to repeat that. Somebody that doesn't preach that does not preach the gospel. His effectual death for his sheep. And he says in verse 16, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now the Lord's letting us know that everything he does voluntarily. He's no victim. I love it when they came to arrest him. Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, I am. Oh, I'd love to have heard the power of those words. What did they do? They fell backwards. He's letting them know, I'm no victim. This is my will being done. When Pilate questions him and he doesn't answer, he says, answerest thou not me? Don't you know I have power to release thee and I have power to crucify thee? Thou couldst have no power at all over me, except it be given thee from above. Everything he did willingly, voluntarily. He willingly obeyed the commandment of his Father. Verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. There always is. And many of them said, he has a devil and he's crazy. Why hear ye him? Now, the world could not understand him, nor prove what he was saying was not according to the scripture. So they said he's crazy and demon-possessed. And any true preacher of the gospel has been accused of the same thing. If a man hadn't been accused of this, he's not preaching what the Lord preaches. That always happens. Now I want to take you to Acts chapter 26. Verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. You're crazy. Much learning doth make thee mad. You're a raving maniac. You spend too much time reading scriptures. You're crazy. Now what led up to this? In Acts chapter 21, Paul was arrested. This began him being imprisoned in Rome, but it started in Acts chapter 21. He was arrested. He asked the Roman soldier, let me speak to the people. And he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. You can read about it in Acts chapter 22. And he preached the gospel to them. What took place in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus and the great light appearing to him. And after he gave his testimony to the Jewish people, you know what they said? Away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. That was their response. Now, Paul goes through a series of events during his incarceration. He's brought before the Jewish council. He's brought before Felix. He's brought before Festus and before Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, he tells once again what happened in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And after giving this account, I love what he says in verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, Acts 26, 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now he's letting him know, I'm only preaching the Old Testament scriptures. This is nothing new. This is not unique with me. I'm preaching the eternal truth of the scriptures. And look what he says in verse 23. He gives three shoulds. And these shoulds ought to be in our preaching all the time. He gives three shoulds. That Christ should suffer. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Christ should suffer. Why? Because it's God's purpose. Because he was guilty. And he was getting what he deserved. When the sins of God's people became his, he should suffer. That's powerful language. He should suffer. And he should be the first to rise from the dead. Because he completely
satisfied all that God requires. There was a must needs be to him, for him to rise from the dead. And he should show light unto the people, unto the Gentiles. You know, he's showing us this light right now, how God can be just and justify the ungodly. I hope that never becomes cliche with any of us. That's the most glorious, holy, God-honoring truth, how God can be just and justify somebody like me or you. Verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. You've gone crazy. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. The implication being, I'm not the one who's mad. You are. I'm not mad, most noble Festus. Now anybody, here's what I want to close with. Anybody who doesn't believe the gospel is a madman. Anybody who doesn't believe the gospel is crazy. You know, if somebody's an atheist, that's crazy. If somebody's irreligious, that's crazy. If somebody's religious, that's even crazier. I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and soberness. And that word sober means sound-mindedness. Now, the gospel, we don't believe it because it makes sense, but it makes sense. It makes sense. It's the only thing that makes sense. I love when the Lord had healed that Gadarene demonic in Mark chapter 5, and the scripture says they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now, if you sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and are clothed in his righteousness only, you are in your right mind. If not, and I'm not saying this, I hope the Lord brings you to this, but if not, you're mad. You're crazy. May the Lord deliver us from being crazy and cause us to sit at his feet, clothed in his righteousness, in our right mind. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. Lord, how we thank you for the great shepherd of the sheep and what he accomplished. How we thank you that all that are of you hear your words. Lord, what confidence we have in you. Lord, we confess our sins, we confess our unbelief, we confess our weakness. Forgive us and cleanse us for Christ's sake. And how we thank you that you're a God who knows our frame and that remembers that we're dust. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would order our steps in your word and let no iniquity have dominion over us. Bless this word for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.